But I do definitely feel like it's that the Lord laid on my heart, best I can feel this morning, and my soul, this is what the Lord had me to preach. And I know it's for somebody that's here this morning. Luke chapter number 12. The story in Luke chapter 12 that I'm going to read to you, beginning with verse 16, is about a man who had a lot of things, earthly things, but was not ready to meet God. And he had to die, as far as we know, unprepared to meet God. And that's a sad thing that a person would live and even be successful in this life and then die and be lost without God forever and ever. You'd been better off never to have been born than to die and be lost without God. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. I'm sorry, 16 through verse 21. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, tonight, that very day, that night of that day, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure and is not rich toward God. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, if you had only 12 hours to live. This may have been a little bit different than I've used this scripture before, maybe once, many, many years ago. But if you knew that you only had 12 hours to live, I wonder what you'd do. I'm going to tell you a few things that I believe you'd do and I'd do this morning if we knew that we had 12 hours to live. Now, the truth is this morning, there's none of us knows that we are going to live 12 hours. There's not a doctor in this world that can guarantee you that you'll be alive 12 hours from now. We don't know that. If we did know, it would make a big, big difference in a lot of people's lives. You can't sit there and tell me if people thought it was their last day on earth that a lot of things wouldn't change from the way they are. Now, I begin to think about this. Here's a man that God looked down and he says, man, then tonight you're going to die. Tonight your soul's going to be required of you. And what good is it going to do you, all these things that you have accumulated? I want to preach you a few minutes on the subject, if you had only 12 hours to live. That's a scary thought, isn't it? But it's true for some people. There's a lot of people that do have only 12 hours or less than 12 hours to live. Now, I want to say, first of all, this morning, I believe if a man knew that he only had 12 hours to live, the first thing he'd do, he would want to be sure of his salvation. A person would want to be sure that they're saved if they knew they only had 12 hours to live. Let me tell you, brother, if God spoke to me this morning and said, Danny Castle, you have exactly 12 hours to live, at 15 minutes to 12 tonight, you will die and go into eternity. The very first thing I would do, well, I would check and double check and double check. I want to know I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell without God. And brother, I'm not planning on it. I know this morning that I am saved. You'd be surprised at the young people and teenagers that don't know that they're saved right now. Let me tell you something, kids. Teenagers die too. Young people die too. You don't never know when you're going to check out of here and leave this world. You don't know that you're saved if you had 12 hours to live. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you sure you're saved? Do you know that you've been born again? Has there come that point in your life when you realize that you were a sinner and that you realize you could not save yourself? And that you realize if God didn't help you, there was no hope for you. Has that happened to you? You'd want to know for sure that you're saved. I'll never forget about year before last at youth camp. We had one of the greatest services we'd ever had out there. And we had teenagers there that were fine, upstanding teenagers that had been in church all of their lives. And I'll never forget two teenagers that night. One of them, both of them been to our church several times, neither one of them even from this area. And one of them came down to the altar that night. I thought maybe she was praying with some of her friends. She was a nice, polite, moral teenage girl of about 15 years old. She came down to the altar and just started bawling. Everybody looked at her, and you know, people were praying with each other and crying all over the tent that night. And that young lady stood up that night, and we were letting each one of them tell what happened to them. And she was crying, wiping tears like this. And she said, "I've never been saved. I just got saved tonight." I thought, my soul, everybody thought that girl was saved. Everybody thought she was a Christian, but she didn't get saved until that night. Another young man, I think he was 16, came to the altar that night, said, "I've never been saved, just got saved tonight." Let me tell you something, a lot of teenagers just kind of float through. They'll sing with the youth choir, they'll go with teenage girls' class or the teenage boys' class, and just kind of think, well, I'm as good as anybody else. But when you're faced with death and know that you could die within just a matter of hours, it will make you check up and get sure that you're saved then. Let me tell you, if you knew that you only had 12 hours to live, the first thing you'd do, you'd want to make sure you're saved. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that you're saved? How can you know? According to the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There must come a time in your life when you realize that you are not good enough to go to heaven by yourself. You realize that Christ paid the price for your sins on Calvary, and that you're willing to accept what He did, not what you can do, what He did to save your soul once and for all, and claim that as your way of salvation. That's got to happen to you before you know you're saved. You'd want to know you're saved if you knew you had to die tonight. If you're a grown up here this morning, you may think you've got by many, many years without this thing. But I'll guarantee you, if you knew you was going to die tonight, by 12 o'clock tonight, you'd want to make sure that you are a Christian. You could like Paul, who said, "I have believed. I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Let me tell you something this morning. There's a lot of things that I don't know. There's a lot of other things about government that I do not know this morning. I'll admit to that. There's a lot of things about science that I do not know. There's a lot of things about medicine that I do not know. There's a lot of things about ecology that I do not know, or geography that I do not know. There's a lot of things in this world that I just haven't had time to get around to learning yet. But I want to tell you something this morning, and don't you ever forget it. You listen to me this morning. I know that I know that I know that when I was 18 years old at Ebo Baptist Church, something happened to me that I've never been the same since. The Lord Jesus Christ come into my heart and saved me, and I know that I'm saved this morning. I know I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I... Do you? What if you had only 12 hours to live? You'd want to know that you're saved. Let me tell you something. Hell's hot, and it never ends. If I thought there was any chance that I might be going to hell this morning, I'd come up here to this altar, I'd grab one of these men or these ladies here by the hand and say, hey, take me down there and show me what the Bible says. I want to know that I'm saved before I walk out these doors today. You know the best way to start out in 1993? Know where you're going when you die, because you don't know how long that you've got. I want to say secondly this morning, the second thing you'd want to know, you'd want to know that your relationship is right with the church. Do you know that? I believe our church very seriously nowadays. I witnessed to a young lady on the airplane when I was flying out to Texas a few weeks ago. I began to talk to her and I said, are you a Christian? She said, yep. I said, do you go to church? She said, nope. I said, why don't you go to church? She said, what has that got to do with it? She thought that going to church had absolutely nothing to do with being a child of God. I want to say this morning, if you knew you had only 12 hours to live, you would want to be affiliated and associated with a New Testament Bible believing, Bible preaching church. Your job wouldn't be that important. Now, I will say something this morning, we'll probably make somebody mad. This may hurt somebody's feelings, but that's not my intention. That is not my intention at all. I wouldn't deliberately do nothing just to aggravate you, hurt you, up here this morning. I'm not like that. I'm a person that loves to get along with everybody and don't want no trouble or anything. I want to tell you something, brother. We're living in a time when people think they gotta have more money and more money and more money and more money, and it seems like our jobs have become more important to us than the house of God and the works of the Lord and the things of God. And brother, it seems like more and more people are just forsaking the house of God in order for an extra job on the weekend or something like that. I want to tell you, let me hear it. You hear me this morning. If you knew you had 12 hours to live, that job out there wouldn't be near as important as being in here worshiping God on Sunday. Now, I understand our situations that people have to do things on Sunday that they'd rather not do. And I understand that. I'm not trying to be unreasonable. But I tell you what, I tell you, it's a sad day when people more care more about that extra dollar than they do the condition of their soul. Amen. Brother, if you knew you had 12 hours to live, going to the house of God would be more important to you than making another dollar to put in your pocketbook. Other people say, well, Brother Danny, if I quit my job, our offering would be down. I'd rather the offering be down and our souls be right. Amen. Amen. I'd rather the offering be lower and the spiritual power be higher. I'd rather the offering be lower and your family stay together. That's why you need the house of God. You need the worship in the house of the Lord. You need to, listen, being in church is important. I bring this up hesitantly this morning, but I bring it up because I believe the Lord wants me to bring it up. There's a man laying in Asheville Hospital this morning. Many of you know what happened to Brother John Hyman the other night. His accident on New Year's Eve. Brother John, of course, used to come to church regular, and I know he wouldn't mind me using an example this morning, but I want to do that. And I want to tell you something this morning, friend. When he got out of church not too long ago, now of course I've talked to him, others have talked to him, and he hadn't done anything a lot of other people hadn't done. Got out of the will of God, got out of church. While we was up here praying Thursday night, bringing out the old year and in the new year, Brother John had a terrible, terrible car accident. Broke his neck. And now he's at Asheville Hospital this morning in terrible shape. Brother Bruce went over to visit him. Bruce told me, he said, when he walked in the door, he said he never said a word. But Brother John looked up at him, and the first words that come out of his mouth was, should have been in church. I should have been in church. See, it's too late now. It's too late. A lot of people say, things like that's going to happen anyway. I'm not making any insinuation, but I know one thing. If he'd have been in the house of God, he would have been sitting here this morning healthy with a whole broke neck. Let's just be honest this morning, folks. We bring a lot of things on ourselves because we forsake God. If we knew we had 12 hours to live, it wouldn't be that way.
We think we can get by without him. There's some of you young people here this morning. It breaks my heart. You think I don't need what Danny says. I don't have to listen to what he said. I'm my own thing. I can get out here and I can smoke a little dope and drink a little and I can party. My mom and dad are crazy. They can go to church all they want to. I'm not listening to what that preacher said. It's not me you're ignoring. It's God Almighty in the book you're ignoring. And you'll pay for it.
You'll pay for it. You teenagers listen to me this morning. You know what some of you teenagers' problem is here this morning? You've been exposed to some of the greatest services any young people's ever got to be in this country. You've been in our youth rallies. You've been in youth camp. Other young people come from other places. They envy you. The youth group that we got, they say we don't have but two or three teenagers in our church. It must be wonderful to have a church where you got 100 teenagers and all of them Lord. But you know what your problem is? You start thinking, it's not so great being saved. It's not so wonderful having the blessing of God. And you've gone out and started messing around in sin. And you're doing what the devil wants you to do. Going to the devil's places. Listen to the devil's music, and you're taking for granted the blessings of God. Let me tell you something, teenager. If you knew you was going to die or not, that would all change. You'd get your heart back in church again. You'd enjoy singing in the choir. You'd be on the altar crying instead of sitting back talking during the invitation. It'd make a difference in your life. Don't tell me that you could just sit knowing you're going to die tonight and the house of God have no effect on you. Buddy, things would change. Let me tell you something. If Bill Clinton knew he was going to die in 12 hours, he'd change his mind on a lot of things. If Michael Jackson knew, don't be snowed by that act they put on. Like we know we're right and everything's cool. Buddy, when a man knows he's going to die, he comes down his high horse mighty quick. Mighty quick. They said these boys over yonder in Vietnam that was cussing and saying there wasn't no God and drinking and smoking dope and doing everything in the world. And they said when them bus started going off around them, you heard them down in there 18 and 19 years old crying, saying, oh God, help me, and crying for their mama. Don't tell me it'll make a difference. If you knew you had only 12 hours to live. Not only that, number three, you'd want to make restitution for your wrongs. You'd may want to make things right with people. If you knew you was going to die in 12 hours, you wouldn't want to be wrong with nobody, would you? It's funny how we'll just let things go on and on and on and on and on till it's time to die and we'll be around the hospital up there and everybody gather around our deathbed and then we'll start trying to make things right with each other. I was up there in the hospital this week with Sister Millie Rabb and their family. You know, their mother, they told them Monday that she was dying. We went up to the hospital late. We was just expecting her to die just any minute. And, of course, she fooled them. And she's still hanging on. And they were up there and they were talking and they wanted to spend every minute they could with their mama. I noticed in that family, I reckon about all of them say, Millie has something like 16 brothers and sisters. And I think that just about all of them, except maybe one, I'm not sure, about all of them are saved. And brothers all up there talking about the Lord. They're talking about the good time they had growing up. What a good example their daddy was. And how their daddy, they could hear their daddy praying. They said they'd come in many a time and their daddy, which would have been Sister Millie's daddy, would be down on his knees praying. One of the brothers said he went out and sinned one night. He said the only time he ever drunk anything in his life, only time he ever drunk any alcohol. And he went out and drunk some and he come in and he heard his beat praying. LJ, is that his name? He's down saying, Lord, save LJ. Lord, get a hold of LJ. I can't. And he come in and heard his dad. He said that was all it took for him. He couldn't stand it. And God got a hold of him. And brother, it made a difference in his life. I noticed they were all up there saying goodbye, Mama. And we love you, Mama. They wanted to tell Mama those last things. And I thought, how funny we do, you know. And that's normal. And that's natural. But brother, listen. How come? A lot of times we have to wait till we're dying to get right with each other in our families and in our relationships. You'd want to make things right. I've heard people in hospitals going in beside somebody in on a hospital bed saying, I'm sorry, I never should have done it. There's been people gotten fights out here and somebody gets shot, wind up there in the hospital screaming and crying in the middle of the night trying to get right with each other because they're afraid they're going to die. If you knew you had only 12 hours to live, you'd go to that person that you need to get something straightened out with and you'd get it straight with them. That's what you'd do. Number four, you would want to be right in your financial situation. I'd want to make sure I have my bills paid. I wouldn't want to die if I owed Ken Young $10. Let me tell you something this morning. To my knowledge, everything's right between me and anybody I know of as far as money goes. If I owe anybody in here any money at all, and I forgot, you be man enough to come up here and tell me about it, and I'll pay you. Don't go talk about me and say, he won't pay his bill. I'm giving you the change right now. There'll probably be 10 people up and tell me I owe money. You're lying. I don't remember that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I have forgot something. Maybe you did let me borrow $20 one time, and I forgot. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I don't want to go to sleep tonight with that on my conscience. I sure don't want to die with it there. I want to be right. I'd hate to know that I had to die tonight and I had robbed God all these years and hadn't paid my tithes. That'd be an awful way to have to die. They told me when I got saved, they said 10% of everything you make belongs to the Lord. I said, okay, when do I start? They said, this Sunday. I said, good. I've been doing it ever since by the help of the Lord. I put mine in this morning. Preacher, I couldn't say that. If you knew you had to die today, you'd do it. Well, I'm telling you, you are going to die one day. You know, when you know you're getting ready to die, money don't mean nothing to you no more. I knew a man who got out in sin, drunk liquor, drunk beer all the time, stayed drunk, and he finally got cancer and was dying. And he had married this woman, and right before he died, this has been years ago, they gave me an envelope, and I think it had $30 in it. And the note said, "Dear Danny, we don't know how to give our tithes, our offerings, and everything, so we just thought you could want to use this for God's glory. We want to." You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to get right on the money question. Laying on his deathbed, it suddenly didn't mean anything to him anymore. People say, "Oh, I just can't afford to tithe and give my offering." Hey, if you was dying today, you could afford it. And you'd want to be right. Don't you say, "Well, I just don't think a preacher ought to preach on money." You don't have a whole lot of good sense. I want to tell you something. I don't do it enough. I ought to do it more. You'd want to be right in money. You'd want to be right in your relationship. You'd want to be right in every way. If you knew you had to die in 12 hours. My youngest daughter, when she was real little, sitting on the bar one day in our house. We got a cabinet comes around like this. And she was sitting there. And there was $30 laying there. $20 bill and $10 bill. And I was doing something in the house and everything. You know when your kids is quiet, you better check on them real quick. You can hear them rattling around, making noise. They're all right. When they get quiet, you better run, find out what they're doing. I went in there, and she had tore up $20 bill and $10 bill just all over the cabinet. I said, "Honey!" And she just looked at me like, you know, "It ain't no big deal. Just my, like that. It's $30. You know, I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, the way we're supposed to be like little kid. That money don't mean nothing to that kid. Don't mean nothing to him. Don't mean nothing to him. I think me or mom, somebody carefully pasted it back together. We're not as pure as she is. But I got to thinking. I got to thinking. Every time I've ever really, 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 really been right with God in a service, I mean, God just got all over me and heaven got real and you got unattached thing to this world, money don't mean nothing to you. I mean, if you got any, all right. If you don't, all right. Who cares? You know, it's a miserable life to worry all the time about your money all the time. That's a miserable way to live. I notice the more right with God I get, the less money means to me. God's been good to me. He's took care of me. But, I mean, I know what it's like to be broke. And I'm as happy, you can be as happy broke as you can with your pocket full of money if you're right with God. And brother, if you, listen to me. If you knew you had 12 hours to live, you'd want to be right in your financial status. Number five, I believe you'd want to witness to somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you knew you had to die tonight, you was checking out into eternity, and you was never going to pass this way again in mortal life. Brother, you'd call up that friend. You'd go by that cousin's house. You'd call out mama or dad, and you'd say, "Mama, I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time. I love you. I want to see you in heaven. I want you to get saved." You know what you kids would do? If you knew you had 12 hours to live, maybe one more day at school, you'd go to McDowell High School tomorrow, Junior High, West Junior High, and you'd tell your friends, say, "Listen, I love you kids. I want you to go to heaven with me. Why don't you go to church? Why don't you give your heart to the Lord?" If you knew you had 12 hours to live, you'd want to witness to somebody. The people wait too late. There'd be a lot of weeping. We've already had a great service this morning, one invitation, and God's already moved, and a lot of people got right. I'll guarantee you one thing. If we knew we had 12 hours to live, everybody in here, dinner would be forgotten. And this altar would be full of people just weeping, trying to get right with God. If you knew you had 12 hours to live. They said Ty Cobb, that great baseball player, played 3,000 baseball games, over 3,000 games. Batted something like 400. And on his deathbed nearly, finally, June 17th, 1961, Ty Cobb accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And you know what he said before he died? He knew he was dying. He sent a message back to his other ball players. And he said, "Tell the boys I'm sorry that I waited till the ninth inning to get saved." He was laying there regretting that he'd wasted his life playing baseball and never spent it for Jesus Christ. And he said, when a man's dying, he didn't say, "Boy, tell him to win the pennant." He didn't say, "Tell him to whip them Red Sox and them White Sox." He said, "Tell him, I'm sorry that I waited so long to get saved." When you get ready to die, brother, things take on a different meaning. Priorities change. Things that wasn't important suddenly become everything. Many years ago, they said there's a ship sprung a leak and started sinking. And they said everybody was getting on the lifeboats going, and they was, you know, escaping to get to shore. And all of a sudden, right before they went down, the captain remembered some treasure that he had down in the captain's quarters. So he ran down the hall, and he went down two or three flights of steps, and he went down to his office that he had down there, and he had this treasure chest like up under his bed, and he drug it out and opened it up and started trying to get all his treasure out, and the boats were leaving out, and he got all his treasure, and he got back up there, and the last lifeboat had left. And he went down with the ship, holding on to his money. A lot of good it did him then, ain't it? A lot of good it did him then. You knew you had 12 hours to live. You wouldn't worry so much about material things. You'd be saying, "Oh God, what I got to do to get right." Somebody here this morning on the first Sunday in this year needs bad to get right with the Lord. The Lord's here in this place this morning, folks. God's here in a strong way. Somebody here needs to get right with God. Maybe it's you, young people. Maybe it's a visitor that's never been here. If you knew you had 12 hours to live, I believe it'd really make a difference. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. No one's talking. No one's leaving the building unless it's an emergency. Is God speaking to your heart? What would you do this morning if you knew you had 12 hours to go? I believe you'd want to get right with your brothers and sisters. I believe you'd want to know that you're saved. I believe you'd want to be right on your money situation. Why not just come and settle those things today? God's speaking to you. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, help us, we ask. May your will be done in our hearts. Oh Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Help the man, that woman, help that boy, that girl, who's never been saved, to walk out of that seat and down this aisle, come down here and be saved this morning. I pray for these Christians, Lord, that need to get right with you. Lord, that you'd speak to their heart. God, draw them to Jesus. In your name we ask it. Amen. If God's speaking to your heart this morning,